We begin the current daven says Chagiga Daf Chav Beis. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, we opened up this perek on Daf Chav, speaking about the 11 chumras, 11 stringencies that Kachim has over Truma. The first one was that when one is coming to immerse 2 impure kalim in the mikvah to make them tahar, so it depends, for Truma, one could go ahead and have one inside the other and immerse it. But by Kachim, we said a stringency is that one cannot go ahead and immerse them both at the same time. So the Gemara wondered why that is. What's the understanding of this Chumrah? So there were two interpretations in the Gemara. There was that of Rabbi Ila. Rabbi Ila said the reason is because we're concerned. If you're going to be immersing both of them, one inside the other, then that might be some type of pseudo-chatzitza, because then the water might not get in between where the two kelim are touching. That is the outer part of the inner vessel and the inner part of the outer one. And therefore, both of them are not going to have a totally valid tefillah, because the water is not going to be touching the entire surface of the keli, and therefore that's the halacha of chatzitza. It interposes from the water and the object, and therefore that would not be considered a kosher tefillah. Rava's interpretation was that it's based on a different halacha. It's a gzeira. It's a concern. What's the concern? If we let you immerse one keli inside of another keli, then we're concerned of a specific type of case, which is when you have small little types of objects like needles and these little forks that they would use to spin gold. You want to go ahead and immerse that in the mikvah. Now, they're going to get lost in the mikvah and they're going to fall to the bottom. So what do? You put inside another keli. Now, but even then, the water might go ahead and lift it up, might fall in. So what do is you get a flask, which has a very small little hole. And therefore, it's not going to slip through that hole. It's very highly unlikely. But it still will have the water connected. Now, the problem with that is that it's not considered a body of water connected to a kosher mikvah, only if there's at least a hole of kishveferes hanoid, which is the size that if 2 fingers can go ahead and move around easily. Now, since we're going to let you have kli, betoich kli, you might do it in a vessel that doesn't have that size of hole, hence it will not be considered a kosher tvila, because it's not, the inside of that flask is not connected to the outer waters which are in the mikvah, and therefore we don't let you with any kli betoich kli, any vessel inside of another, another utensil, because of that concern. Those were the two interpretations of this chumrah that Kachim has over Truma. Now, the Gemara, that's where the Gemara begins on this daf and says, so my ikka bein de rava l'dabila. So what is the halachic difference? So there are 2 different reasonings, 2 different concerns, either one of chatzitza, which is a halacha regarding the halachas of tefila, or it's a halacha regarding this concern also of tefila, that it has to be touching the bodies of water and it can't have a hole that's less than shefres anoid. But what's the halachic difference? So the Gemara says, ikka b'nai, the difference would be with sal v'gargusne. We're talking about a very large basket, where this is, gargusne was a type of basket that they would use to filter the wine by the time when they would gather in the grapes, where they would be plucking it off the vines. Now they would put it on bottom of the stream of the vat, where the wine would be pouring down into the pit, as the Gemara says in Masechta Sabrei Dezara, these are large baskets. Now, if shemiloin kalim hetvilim, the difference between Rav and Rabila would be if you take these large baskets and you fill it up inside those baskets with utensils and you immerse it that way together in the mikvah. As Gemara explains, lamanda amam shem chatzitza, according to Rabbi Ila, who says the reasoning is based on the concern of chatzitza, so ikka, there's still that same concern. The weight of the upper keli that's in this large gargus, this large basket, will be weighing down on it. Then the surface of that utensil will be touching the bottom of the gargusni, and the water will not be able to get in between them. And therefore, there's still the same concern of chatzitza, and that also should not be kosher. That will not be considered good tefillah. But l'man d'amash from gizera, but according to Rav, who says the reason is we're concerned. If we allow you to have one utensil and another utensil, you might be shemeyatvul machtim itzinarius, because then you might go ahead and immerse needles and these small little forks. Then you might immerse it in the vessel that the opening of the bottle doesn't have the valid size that's required of 2 fingers that could move around easily, and therefore salva gargusni. But regarding these large baskets, she'im befin kishveferes hanoid, there is never a manufactured a gargusni that has a small hole. The purpose is to be this large open basket that it could be poured in the wine and that it could be filtered through that when they're at the time of the harvest. And therefore, leka, there is no such concern. You're never going to have a gargusni with such a small hole. And in such a case, Rava would say that it would be considered a valid tefillah, even in Kachim. And that would be the difference between Rava and Rabila in such a case. Now, as the Gemara had explained on the previous daf, that Rabbi Yila is l'shitasai, as he's explained his opinion elsewhere, as he codified the halacha of our Mishnah as 10 stringencies, not as 11, as we explained in the previous staff, because he considered both the case of untying a knot and the case of kli b'kotech kli as a chatzitza problem. So the Gemara says also, v'azdu Rava l'tamei, Rava is also going, according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere, Dama Rava, that Rava said, Salver gagusni, he says clearly, regarding this case that we said would be a difference between him and Reb Ila, shemilon kelim etvilon, if you filled it up with utensils and you immersed it that way, inside that large basket, that taharin, that they're tahar, it meaning it's considered a valid tevila, even for kaidish. And this again is Rav Lashitas, according to his previously mentioned opinion, that he said the reason of the prohibition, of the stringency of kli b'tach kli, is a concern that you might immerse it in a utensil that won't have the size of an opening like shefer sanoid. And by sal gagusni, there is no such concern because they're wide open baskets, and that's why he considers them tar. Now Rav continues there in that statement that he mentioned there, says, U'mikveh shecholkoi b'salver gagusni. Now regarding a mikveh, which you split down the middle with this large basket, so there, the Gemara says, "Hatoyvel sham loyos leitvil." If someone immerses himself in one of the two sides of the mikvah, where you went ahead, essentially made two different pits because you separated with this basket, that will not be considered a valid tefillah. And the reason is because now each side of the mikvah doesn't have 40 sa. Now, although the water is connected between the holes of the wicker, when you have a wicker basket, you have those holes in between them, but they're smaller than shrifer asanayid. Therefore, we do not consider that attached. We see them as separate pits, because as we said, you have to have at least a size for feres anoid, and therefore, that will not be considered a valid tefila, as the Gemara illustrates this. Because the ha'ara kula chalchuli mechalchala, the ground that a mikveh is made on, has holes, it's porous. And that is the water that's sprouting forth from here, meaning when you have a spring, a well type of a mikveh. Where does it come from? Where's the source of this? It comes from a large river. Now, we do not consider that as attached, and that is that ubi'ina de'ika mem sabe makamecha. We need to have that the 40 sides to be in one place. So although, yes, it's connected on some level on the ground, but so although the ground is porous, but since the holes are not the size of shefer sanoid, like a large straw that you could stick two fingers in, same thing over here by the basket that separates between the two halves of the mikveh. Yes, they're connected, but they're not the requisite shear. So although they're touching, just like the ground, they're touching the underground sources of these wells, that's not enough. We don't see the 40 sa in one place, and therefore they will not be considered kosher mikveh to have a valid tevila. Now the Gemara qualifies this halacha that we mentioned from Rav. Now, Vahani Mili, when did we say this halacha, that if someone immerses a kli in a place where the hole is not kishveferes hanoid, doesn't have the requisite shear to view it as connected to the kosher source of the mikvah, that then we say it's going to be tameh, meaning that was what we had said, we had quoted on the previous daf of Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayis, and that was related to the source of Rav's concern that you can't have a kli b'tach kli, because then you might do it in a flask and you want to put your little needles and they don't get lost, so they'll have little holes that the water gets through, but they're too small, they're not kishveres hanoid. Then we said what's inside is not considered connected to the larger mikveh that the flask is inside of, and therefore it's going to be tameh. Now that the Gemara qualifies that that's only b'kli tahar. That's only if the outer vessel, let's say that flask, that you're putting your needles into and those little forks, that vessel was tahar, but you didn't need to immerse that outer kli. You're only using that as a vehicle to immerse those little needles that you're putting inside of it and throwing that into the mikveh. Av b'kli tameh, but if the outer one that you're putting those needles into is itself impure, and you needed to tevil it itself, on that the Gemara qualifies and says, migu desalka tevila lekule gufi demana. Now, since what we're doing with this immersion of this flask is to allow it to purify that flask itself, now as Rashi explains, the inside of the flask, we're saying, is not considered connected to the mikveh because the hole is too small. It's not kishveferes and there are two fingers. But the problem is that how did the inside become tummy? The way it became tummy was through such a hole. Therefore, Rashi says that there's always a rule of ketumasa kentarasa. Just like it became tummy, that's it becomes tar through that small hole. So it becomes tar through that small hole also. And therefore, the inside of that flask, although again it's a very small hole, will become tar by the water coming through that hole. So salkluhu nami, so therefore it's also going to work, this immersion of the outer utensil, lekelem de isbe, for the utensils inside of it. So again, although we said on the previous daf that if one were to put, and that was the whole concern according to Rava of kli b'toy kli, that you can't have any kli inside of another one, because maybe you're going to do it with, let's say, a flask which has a very small hole so that the needles don't come falling out when you throw it into the mikvah, that won't be considered valid because we won't view those waters as connected because the hole is too small. As we said, when you have two mikvahs side by side, which we view them as connected when you have a pipe between them. But now the Gemara is saying a chiddush. But if the outer one is a tamei kli, and then we're purifying it itself, and the inside is becoming pure by being immersed in the mikvah, and that's because it's going through the hole, even though a very small hole, that means to say that the purifying waters of the mikvah is actualizing purification inside. So that means that even the needles inside, although generally we say that it's not viewed as connected, here since the waters are purifying inside, they will become tar also. As the Gemara says, it's not like we learned, which is close to a version of a Mishnah Masechtas Mikvahs that we have. It says over there that kelim shemilon kelim mitvilim, which again is the case that we're talking about. If you have a vessel, which you fill up different utensils inside that vessel, vitvilim, and you immersed it that way. So on that, it says over there, hare elu taharim. So they're considered tahar, and that is, as we said, for truma, because our Mishnah said that kli b'toy kli works for truma, it doesn't work for kachim. And it doesn't differentiate over there whether it has a large opening or a small opening. Now, v'im le tavel, which the Gemara shortly will explain what exactly this means, that it's going to interpret it as if you didn't have to be tavel, meaning if you didn't have to immerse the outer kli, again, this outer kli is holding all the smaller ones inside of it. If you didn't have to immerse it, then mayim hamuravim, then the waters that are mixed, meaning of the outer utensil into the mikvah, and now you're coming to be metar through the kli that's holding them all, then it has to be achiyumuravim until we see that it's mixed through the wide mouth of the outer kli, kishvayferes hanoi. Then it has to be the size of shvayferes, of the tube of a flask, which again is that has two fingers that can stick inside of it. Now, the Gemara first clarifies, what do these words mean? My ka'amar v'im lo yitavel, what does that mean? It's hard to translate what these words mean. It says that if you didn't immerse, then the mixed waters are not considered mixed until you have the size of a straw, of a shaferis, of a tube, of the flask. So then the Gemara says, ha'chakama, like we had just explained from Rashi. V'im ein lo yitzarech latfilo, it means to say that, but if you don't have to immerse the outer kli, you have a one or two or three kalim inside an outer kli. If you don't have to immerse that, then it's only by umayim hamuravim. That means to say that the way the kelim inside are going to become tar is only through the waters that are mixed from the outer mikvah, meaning the mikvah that it's submerged in, and the waters inside that kli, inside that tube. Then it has to be atshiyu muravim kishveferes hanoi. Then it has to be until it's mixed with the size of a tube that has the type of the flask. That is as how the Gemara had qualified it, that this is only if the outer kli itself is not being purified, that it wasn't tamei. But if it itself was tamei, it wasn't v'im lo yitavel, if you had to immerse it itself, then the kelim inside will become tahar. Again, by kachim, you can never do it, because you can't do kelim b'toch kelim. But the problem is, even by truma, no matter the size of the tube it's saying, you could go ahead and purify it, only because the outer one is tamei, and that's what it qualifies there in the Mishnah. But v'im lo yitavel, but if it's not a case where the outside is tamei, then is when we require the requisite share of shaferes hanoid. But again, if it is tamei, and if it's, let's say, truma where there's no problem with kli b'toch kli, then one could go ahead and immerse it even if the hole is very small, as we explained the logic before, because since the waters are purifying it inside no matter what the size is, because how it became tamei, that's become tar, so then whatever's inside will also be considered part of the mikvah waters and become tar that way. Now the Gemara continues and says that v'hadar rav Reb Ila tanoihi. This machlekes that we mentioned between Rava and Reb Ila, which we said regarding the halacha of kli b'toch kli, is that a chatzitza concern, like Reb Ila said, because the weight of the inner one will be weighing down on the outer one on the inside and water won't get in there? Or is it a concern because if we allow that case, you might do a specific case of kli b'toch kli, which is putting in, let's say, small little needles into a flask that has a very small hole, less than shvaveres hanoid, which will not be valid on any level as a tefillah because we don't see it connected, and therefore we don't let any kli b'toch kli regarding kachim. So the Gemara tells us that tanoihi, that's a machlekes tanoim, the tanoim learned the braisa. Because we said before, what is the case that they argue about? It's salvegar gusne, regarding this large basket, shemilon kelim et vilon, where you filled it up with utensils and you immersed it that way. So the first opinion says, Bein l'kodesh, bein l'truma tahirin, whether it's for kachim or whether it's for truma, it's tar. That's like Rava, who Rava said that yes, kli b'tachli is a problem by kachim, but not if it wouldn't apply the gzera of having it inside a flask, because we're talking about salva gargusni. That's like Rava, because it's never going to have a hole that small. Abba Sholeimer, and he's like Rabila, he says, l'truma abaloi l'kodesh. He says that, yes, you can do it only if it's for truma purposes, but for kachim, even in salva gargusni, it's going to be a problem. So that is because, that's like Rabbi Elo, who he says the reason is because of chatzitz. And salva gargusni is like any other utensil, because it's heavy and it's going to be weighing down no matter how large the basket is. And if someone tables kalim inside of it, it's not going to be tar for kachim. Now Rav, however, who he explained the reason of because of being connected to the mikvah, now as we said, by salva gargusni there's no concern that it's going to be tar, and therefore we see that their machlekes amaram is really a machlekes tanoim. Now the Gemara asks on any interpretation. The Gemara asks, we made this the first, as the Mishnah said, of 11 chumras that kachim has over truma. And we said that kli b'tar kli will not work by kachim, but yes work by truma. So whether it be because of a concern of chatzitza, or whether it be concerned because then you might do it with a flask that has a smaller hole than the size of shreves anoid. But the Gemara says, ihachi, no matter what the reason is, trumanami. Then let it be a problem by truma too. You can't have chatzitzas by truma. You can't have a hole smaller than shveferes hanoid by truma. So why are we only concerned by kachem and not by truma? So the Gemara answers, leman kamrina. Now, for who are we saying this psak halacha that you shouldn't immerse a kli b'toy kli? In other words, we're going to get to the understanding of why that would only apply, which it seems like a real halachic problem, but we're only going to relate it to kachem, not by truma. Because who are we telling this halacha to? Chaverim? To those that are people that are Tamid HaChacham, that are well-learned in the halachas of Tahiris. And the reason why it would seem to be Chaveirim, because regarding ignoramus is Amaretz, they're not coming to ask us Shilas regarding Tahiris. And therefore, regarding Truma, there's no concern. And that's why we're going to say there's a difference between Truma and Kachim, because Chaveirim made the Yadi. Tamid HaChacham, people learned in the halachas of Tahiris, they know the shear that needs to mix the flask, the keli that you're immersing in, with the mikvah. And they also know regarding the weight of one kli weighing down in another one that it's required to lift up the inner one so that the water could get in between. And therefore, it doesn't apply to say by truma, oh, don't do a kli b'toy kli, because who's coming? It's Am Haaretz, he's not coming to us. A chaver knows this halacha. So why would we say that is a problem of kli b'toy kli? When a chaver's coming to tevel, he'll pick up the inner one a little bit to get the water in there. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi kodesh nami, so what do you mean? So then say the same thing regarding kachim too. Obviously, that our Mishnah that said avaloi l'kodesh, that you can't do this by kachim, is talking about a chaver, a tam chacham. Because again, if it's a ama aretz, who he's going to listen to you? You think he's coming to ask you what to do or what's the reason? He's not. So why are we differentiating by kachim and truma? So just like truma doesn't apply, so by kachim also, whoever knows halacha knows, and whoever doesn't, like ama aretz, is not coming to ask. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Amaretz is not coming to ask, and the Chaver knows the Halacha. So why don't we allow Kli B'toy Kli by Kachim? Because the problem is, the Chaver is going to be tivaling for Kachim a Kli B'toy Kli. Chazi Le Amaretz. Problem is, guess who's looking over his shoulder when he's in the Kalim Mikvah? There's the Amaretz watching. V'ozil Matvil. Now, what's going to happen is that the Amaretz himself is going to go ahead and tivale a Kli B'toy Kli. And he's not going to know the differentiations in halacha. And he might either come to do like Rava when the hole is too small, or he's going to do like Reb Ila and have the weight of the top one weighing down on the bottom one and then being a chatzitza. And that's why we can't do it. Not because of the chaver. He knows what to do. But we don't allow it out of a concern that Am Arts is watching him, is going to copy him, but do it incorrectly. But then the Gemara asked if that's the case. So Truma Nami Chazli Am Arts. So what about Truma? Why by Truma do you allow a Kli B'toy Kli? Guess what? Truma, an Am Haaretz, is also going to see the Jewish, the Yisrael, the non-Kohen, Am Haaretz is going to see the Kohen who's going to be tiveling it with a Kli B'toy Kli, v'azal matvil. And guess what? The Am Haaretz is going to go, immerse it the incorrect way, and then he's going to use it for Truma purposes, and then he's going to give the Truma to the Kohen. Now that's going to be a problem, because that means the Kli that you use to deliver the Truma inside of, because he's doing it for truma purposes. We're saying that by truma you're allowed to table kli b'toy kli, but the problem is he didn't know to pick up the top one, and it's gonna be weighing down. It's gonna be chatzitz. That means they're both tamei, and he's gonna use it for truma, and he's gonna give it to the kayin. So why do we allow by truma kli b'toy kli? The Am Haaretz is watching there also, and he's gonna do it incorrectly. So the Gemara answers, that's not a problem by Truma. Loi mekablinan, we do not receive Truma minayu. We don't take Truma from that Maariv. So if he's coming with his bowl that he immersed in the mikveh, especially, he says, look, I immersed it. We don't take it from him. You know when we take Truma from the Amaretz? It's only at the times by the presses, by the wine presses and the olive presses. We're there, everyone at those times, those seasons, everyone purifies their kelim based on the sages. As the Mishnah tells us later on the Chavdalma Beis, that once the Gitois and the Badim, which are the times when they would be pressing all the freshly produce, the grapes and the olives, and they bring a barrel of Truma, we don't receive it from him anymore. So the Gemara is saying, even if the Amaretz is looking over his shoulder and he's doing it the wrong way, it doesn't make a difference because we're not going to take it from him anyway. And therefore, the concern does not apply by Truma. But then the Gemara goes back. So, Kodesh Namad Lein Kalba Minayu. You're telling me that by Kodshim you cannot immerse the Chavar, the Talmud Chacham. Can't do Kli B'Torah Kli, even though he knows the Halacha. And the Amaretz is not coming to ask, so who are we concerned for? Because the Amaretz is watching the Talmud Chacham when he's doing it. And he might then do it himself incorrectly. So the Gemara says, oh, if that's the case, say by Truma also. And the Gemara says, no. By Truma, it doesn't make a difference. Let him do it the wrong way, the Amaretz. The Chavar is going to do it the right way anyway, so there's no concern to make him not do a Kli B'Torah Kli. And the Amaretz is anyway, we don't care, because even if he does it the wrong way, we're not taking from him Truma that he's bringing in this Keli. It's only at the time of the Gittis and the Badim where everyone then has pure Kelim. But then the Gemara says, if that's the reason why we don't care by Truma, because we don't take from him anyway, so then say the same logic by Kachim. Say we don't take Kachim from Amaretz, because he might have done it the wrong way. Why do we say that you can't do Kli B'Torah Kli, because they might do it the wrong way? Why take Kachim from him in the first place? So the Gemara answers, Havi La'eva. No, we have to take Kachim from Amaretz, because then there's going to be enmity, there's going to be hatred. They're going to say that you're not taking our karbanas from us, and that's going to cause them to have this hatred, and therefore we have to take kach from them. So the Gemara asks, the Truma Nami Havala Eva. What do you mean? There's Amaretz, he's an ignorant person, he wants to serve Hashem, he comes with his bowl full of Truma, he says, here, I'm giving it to the Kayan, and then you say, you're not taking it from me? What do you mean? These Tamid HaChamim, and he's going to have hatred. What's the difference between Truma and Kachim? So the Gemara answers, Loi Ichbes Lei. No. Regarding Truma, it's not going to bother him. Because the Azal Yav Le Kayan, Amaretz Chavrei. See, kachim is done in the Beis HaMikdash. These are karbanas. These are things that only chaverim, people that are righteous and well-learned people, are involved in. Therefore, there, it's going to be Eva, because they're the only avenue that you could bring it to. And if they don't take it, they can say, oh, forget about them. But regarding Truma, okay, you don't want to take it? There's many kahanim that are not learned, and that they're amaratzim, and they'll take it from their friend Amaretz, and therefore there's not going to be any Eva, and that's the discrepancy between Truma and Kachim. As we explained, that the reason why we're concerned about it is because of the Amaretz who's watching the Chavar might come to do the wrong way, and then he's going to bring his Kachim on those plates, on those bowls, and those cups, which was one inside the other, where again, either it was Chatzitza, or the hole was too small, and that's why we have to do it the right way, that he doesn't learn the wrong way. And although Truma, he's going to learn the same thing when he sees we're doing Kli B'Torah Kli, but that doesn't make a difference because we're not going to take from him anyway, because there's no Eva, he can go to some other Kayin Amaretz that doesn't care. But by Kachim, there is no such case, and that's why there's a problem of Eva, so we have to make sure we do it the right way, that he doesn't learn to make a mistake and do it the wrong way in the concern of Kli B'Torah Kli. Now the Gemara says, so this that we explained it based on the principle of Eva, of hatred. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Dechayish Leiva, who is this Tana that's concerned for this element of Eva, that if we, although halachically we would be concerned, we don't want to take Kachim from the Amaratzim, because it is a probable chance that their thing could be Tameh, but still because of Eva, we try to do it as halachically permissible as possible. Who is that Tana? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yesi, the Tana like Luna Braisa, our Rabbi Yesi says, Mimneima HaKol Nemonin, Altaharis Yain Veshemin Koyim Mesashon. He says, why is it that everybody, even Amaretz, an ignorant person, is considered trustworthy? We believe him regarding the purification of his wine and his oil the entire year. Which means to say that if he comes to bring wine for Nesachim, which are brought on the Mizbeach, or oil for the Menachis, the flour offerings that are brought on the Beis HaMikdash, with the Mishnah teachers later on the Chavdalma Beis, that's actually a stringency, although our Mishnah said 11 stringencies of Kachim over Truma. There it says certain stringencies of Truma, and that is because in Yehuda, in Judea, they're believed regarding the purification of their wine and the oil for Kachim, whereas regarding Truma, we don't believe them. So Rabbi Yossi explained, why is it? Why do we believe them? The Amaretz doesn't know the halachas. Why should we trust them? So that Rabbi Yossi said, Kadesh lo yehei kol echad ve'echad, so that it shouldn't be that every single person will be hoylechu b'ayin b'ma la'atzmai. He'll go ahead and build his own altar at a time when altars are forbidden, which is after the times of the second base of Mikdash, and he's going to go ahead and bring his own karbanos to Shemayim. And v'serev paradum la'atzmai, he's going to make his own red heifer, and he's going to do all the things. You know what, forget about them, I'm going to make my own base of Mikdash, my own mizbeach. And to not allow that to happen, so therefore they accept him and they believe him if they say that their wine and their oil is considered tahara. And again, that's because of the concern of Eva, but the hatred. And that's the same element we see over here, why we do accept the kach from them. And because we do accept the kach from them, therefore we can't have kli b'ter kli, because they might watch us and do it the wrong way. And we will have to take their kach from them on the bowls and the cups and all the platters that they serve us the kach with. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying that Amra Papa says, Keman mekablin ha'idna sadusim am arts. Who is it that we go like today in current halacha, that we accept witnesses, testimony from even the Am Haaretz? So the Gemara says, come on, who's that like? That's Kereb Yasi. Because actually, according to the Rabbanu, we do not receive the testimony of Am Haaretz. As the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, it's only that Kereb Yasi, who's concerned about Eva, if we don't let them say testimony, they're going to come to hate us. And therefore, we do accept their testimony. Again, the element of Eva is taken into consideration in Halacha. Now the Gemara goes back to the discussion we were mentioning before. The Gemara asks that v'nechesh l'sha'ela, we should be concerned about borrowing. What that means is that, so we made a differentiation halacha between kachim and truma. Chaymer b'kachim b'truma, the first one was that you're not allowed to meris kli b'ter kli by kachim, but you're allowed to do it by truma. Now, the reason why we said that is because by kachim, we're concerned about the chatzitza or about the shveferes that's smaller than the shveferes hanoid, but not really, because Amaratzim are not coming to ask anyway, so we're not telling them this psak halacha. And the chaver knows, it's just Amaratz who's watching. But by Truma, we're not concerned because we don't take it from them anyway. The Gemara is asking now, we shouldn't be allowed to immerse a kli b'ter kli for even Truma, because, like we said, maybe the Amaratz is watching and he's going to do the same thing. Now the Gemara said, so fine, let him do the same thing and not pick up the kli. And then, yes, it's not going to be a kasher tefillah and it's going to be tameh. But it doesn't make a difference. We're not taking truma from them anyway. And everything they eat is tummy anyway. So it doesn't make any halacha differences. But that the Gemara is asking, there is a halachic difference. Because we borrow their kalim and we use them. We go to a neighbor, the Am Haaretz, and we knock on the door and say, could I borrow your bowl? Could I borrow your cup? Could I borrow all these things? That's not like we learn the Mishnah, Masechtas Idyas, that it says clearly that we borrow from them their kalim. And if we do, that should be enough of a concern, not for the truma that's being served in it, because we don't take the truma from them, but for the utensil itself. If he's watching the Talmud Chacham saying, wait a second, I see he's immersing one kli in another kli, so he goes and does it himself also, and we're going to borrow from him. Does not like, learn the Mishnah Masechta Sidyas. It says, kli cheres matzal ala kol divri besil. Besil holds that an earthenware vessel protects everything that's inside of it. Now that would be either by one of two cases. Either that it's totally covered with a seal, this whole entire earthenware vessel, even though it's an oil mess, which is the tent where there's a corpse, the entire area of the tent becomes tummy. But if it's an earthenware vessel, which does not contract tumma from the outside, and it's covered with a seal, then everything inside is considered protected and does not become tummy. Or it's talking about in the case where there's a corpse in the house. Now, that's on the first story. Now, there are things that are tahar on the second story, in the attic. And there's a skylight, there's a window that's open from the house going up to the second story. But in that hole, they placed an earthenware vessel in that hole. And therefore, Beisil says, a kli cheres is a chaytzitz b'fnei ha-tumma. It interposes, it separates, it blocks tumma from going upward, meaning it can't go up because there's a covering, which is the floor of the second story, but there's that hole. But now we're blocking that hole with an earthenware vessel because earthenware vessels do not contract tumma from the outside and therefore protects everything that's on the second story. That's the opinion of Beisil, again, that a kli cheres protects everything inside. They say, they say, no, it's not true. The only thing the earthenware vessel will be protecting from tumma is food, beverage, and the earthenware vessel. That's the machlekes. So Amalem Beisil, Beisham Beisil said to Beishamai, why is it? Why shouldn't the earthenware vessel protect and block? It's, if it cannot contract, then it automatically blocks. And earthenware cannot contract tumma from the outside. So Amalem Beishamai, Beishamai says, I'll tell you the reason. Because actually this utensil itself, the earthenware vessel, it's already tameh. Because before the Am Haaretz put it into the skylight, into that hole between the first and the second story, it was already tameh. And how to become tameh? Al gabei Am Haaretz. because Am Haaretz is involved in it. All his utensils are tamei, and therefore the inkli tamei chaitzes. Only a pure kli can interpose between tumah and a thing that's tahar. But if itself it's tamei, then it doesn't interpose, and therefore the tumah is going to go right through where the earthenware vessel is and make everything tamei up there. So Amar lehem Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel said back to Beis Shammai, wait a second, I don't understand. Your opinion is contradictory. Because you yourself said that what's on the second story, you'll permit the food, the drink, and the earthenware vessel. So, or if it's, let's say, the case of the earthenware vessel that's surrounded with a seal in the Oilam Es, which is the same type of case, you said whatever's inside will be protected. Now, how is it protected? If you said that the vessel itself is Tamei and it cannot protect, so why is the food and beverage good? So, Bishami said as follows. Says, you don't understand what we're trying to say. Yes, I know I said that they're tar, but what did we mean when we said that the food and beverage will be tar? As we continue on Talmud Beis, we meant la'atzmei taharnu. We said for the Am Haaretz himself, it's considered tar. What we meant by that was that he could eat it. And the reason is because anyway, those who are concerned with tumah and tahara, the chaverim, talmid chacham, they stay away from the Am Haaretz and things that they touch. And besides that, all his food is tamei. So the chaverim are not eating it anyway. So yes, we said regarding his food and beverage that it's tahar. We didn't really mean it's really tahar. We meant to say it's tahar, that let the Am Haaretz eat it anyway. However, avol nitar es hakli, should we say that other vessels that are there in the second story should be tar shetarasa l'cha v'loi, that would have huge ramifications halacha. If it's like you, if we Bisham would say like you Bisham, that everything is tar, which means say even the other vessels and utensils that are up there, now that would not be just for the Am Haaretz. His food anyway, no one else eats. So we said, okay, it's tar because tar or tamei, it doesn't make a difference. He's going to eat it anyway, and the chaverim are not eating it anyway. But regarding utensils, if we said that it's going to be tahar, that would be a halachic problem because the chaverim do borrow the kelim from the Am Haaretz. And if we're going to say that's tar, it's not really true because since, as we told you, that the kli is already tamei because the Am Haaretz make his kelim tamei and therefore it's not a chaitzitz, so then it's not going to protect everything up there. And essentially they really are tamei and therefore we cannot say it's tar because then the chaverim are going to come to use it. Now therefore we see this idea that obviously that the chaverim do borrow the kelim from the Am Haaretz. And so that's illustration number one of where we see this concept that chaverim do borrow the kelim from Am Haaretz, and therefore the Gemara's question was that although we're not concerned about the truma inside the kli, because we're not going to take it from him anyway, but we should be concerned about the kli itself. So why even by truma do we let kli b'toich kli if the vessel itself will be something that we're going to borrow, and if we allow him to do it that way, it's going to be kelim that are tamei. Moreover, Tanya learned the Braisa. Amri Bishua, Bishua said, regarding the same machlekes that we just mentioned, your Bishua said, he says, I'm embarrassed from your words, Beishamai. Because Efshir Isha Losha Bareba, is it possible that you can have a woman kneading dough in a trough, in a kneading bowl, in this second story? And what the halacha is going to be, according to Beishamai, is that the Isha Bareba Tamei in Shiva, the woman and the bowl, will be tamei for 7 days, but a batzik tahar, but the dough will be tahar. Does that make sense? In other words, he said that eichel nemashkin are tahar, but everything else is tamei. So the woman's tamei, the pole is tamei, but the dough that she's kneading is tahar. Moreover, he said, similarly, leigin moli mashkin. You have flasks that fill with beverage. So leigin tamei tumishavis. You tell me the flask is tamei for 7 days. Umashkin tahirin, but the liquid is going to be tahar. He didn't understand it. He says, I'm embarrassed from such an opinion, Bishamai. Does that make sense? How could it be that if you tell me that there's a problem over here with the klicheris that's blocking the way, so everything is tummy, but the liquids that are inside the kli that's tummy will be tahar. The dough that's inside the kneading bowl will be tahar. So the Gemara tells that nitvalei talmud echad mitamid Bishamai. So there was a student of one of the students of Bishamai that went to explain to him Bishamai's opinion. Amalei, he said to Rabbi Shua as follows. Says, I'll explain to you the reason of Bishamai. So Amalei Amar, he says, okay, say. So Amalei said to him, Kli Tamei. He said in the way of a question. He says, regarding an impure Kli, Chaitzis or Ein Chaitzis, could a Tamei Kli serve as an interposition from Tamei going in the trajectory up to a second story, let's say? So Amalei Ein Chaitzis, no, it does not Chaitzis. It won't get in the way. It has to be Tahar to block. Moreover, he said, Kli Shalama Aretz, utensil of Ama Aretz. Tamei or tar? How do you consider their kelim? You think their kelim are tar or tamei? Amalei tamei says no, they're tamei, of course. So the student said, "Vim ato amalei tamei." Now, if you're going to tell him that his stuff are tamei, klumashkiach alecha, you think he's going to listen to you? V'loyoid, not only that, he's not going to listen to you. What do you mean? You're telling me my stuff are tame? Elishim ata oimali tame. If you tell him that your stuff are tame, you tell the Amma'arts. Oimalach, I'll tell you, the Tamachachim, shalitar v'shalcha tame. You know what? Mine are tame and you are tame. And therefore, the student said, v'zehu taiman shal b'shamay. That's the reason of b'shamay. In other words, the reason why b'shamay said that his food and his beverage and his earthenware vessel, which earthenware vessels are unique, that there's no tahara. The only way to purify it is to break it. In other words, there's no way of purifying it. So if you're going to come to say that, you know what, your food is usur, your drink is usur, your earthenware vessel is usur, he's not going to listen to you. What, he's going to throw out his food? There's no way of purifying it. He's going to throw out his beverage? He's going to break his earthenware vessels? But regarding all other kalim, let's say metal kalim, he's going to listen to you. Because what's the big deal? He'll go ahead and immerse it in the mikvah. And therefore, and as we had said before, another reason why we said everything is tameh, because it really is tameh, is because then the tameh lechama are going to borrow from it. But he said that's the reason of Bishama in saying that he didn't really say it's pure, the dough that's inside the bowl or the liquids that's inside. It's just because he's not going to listen anyway. So he said, you know what, that's tahar. And we're not taking it from him anyway, so go ahead and eat your things and don't break your earthenware vessels. But everything else, well, he will listen anyway. And again, as we said, there's a nafkamina, there's a difference for us because we borrow their utensils. So he said that it's tameh. And I said, okay, you know what, it's tameh, fine. I'll go ahead and immerse in the mikveh, big deal. So the Gemara tells him, miyad halach Rabbi Yeshua. So immediately Rabbi Yeshua went, and he went and prostrated himself on the graves of Bishamay. Amen, he said, Nanish lechem asmes Bishamay. He says, I spoke against you, the bones of Bishamay, exceedingly. And he said, Umastume shalechem kach, if your closed words, the words that were so confounding, are so illuminating, so mefarash es halachas kamav kamav, so those are your opinions that are explicit, all the more so how great they are. So Amr, they said that Kalyamav Hushchu Rishina Netani Yosef. All his days, his teeth were black from all the fast that he fasted because he spoke out excessively against the opinions of Bishamay, as he was later explained, the truth of their opinion. Now, however, either way, the Gemara concludes. Ketani Mias, one thing we see from these two brises is that L'cha V'loi, we see that the utensils of the Ma'orids, we can't say it's tar. Because it's not just for him, it's as Bishamay said to Bisil, it's for you, the Chavar, and for him. And therefore we can't say it's Tar, because really it's Tameh, and you're going to come to borrow it from him. So we see that we borrow the utensils. And therefore that takes us back to the Gemara's question on Amud Aleph. Why do we say that Bichumah would not concern for the Amorites to be watching the Chavar when he's doing Kli B'Tei Kli? Because even though he's going to mimic and do it the wrong way, and let's say not pick up the kli, and therefore it's going to be a chatzitza, but we don't care because we're not taking truma from him anyway, even though it's on these tamei kelim. But the problem is, the keli itself is tamei. Very likely it could be. That's the concerns we have. Now, if that's the case, but we borrow his kelim, and we're borrowing, we're going to be using tamei kelim, and chaverim, tamei lechacham, are concerned that it should be done b'tahara. So why do we allow truma kli b'tei kli? So the Gemara answers, that's not a problem. Because kishalina minayu, you're right, we borrow the vessels, but matralina lehu, we immerse it in the mikvah. And that is exactly because of this concern. Because they immerse a kli b'tei kli, because they're watching the Talmud Chacham when he's immersing his kelim for truma in the mikvah, that it's kli b'tei kli, but he's doing it the right way. So yes, he does it the wrong way, but it doesn't make a difference because we're not taking the truma on his vessel's enemy. And when we do take his vessel to par with, we immerse it in the mikvah first. But the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, that we go ahead and immerse his kelim first, so Nahadru lehu Beis Hillel b'Shamay. So Beis Hillel should have responded to B'Shamay, that B'Shamay says, look, B'Shamay says, we can't say it's all tar, and therefore we have to say this middle ground of let his food and drink and his klicheres be tar, so to speak, because he's not going to break his klicheres, he's not going to throw out his food and beverage anyway, but the kelim we have to say it's tamay because we borrow it. But the problem is, Beis Hillel should have said to B'Shamay, what do you mean? Kishalina minayu mitvalina lehu. When we borrow the kelim, you're saying lochavaloi? There's no problem of lochavaloi. Say his stuff atar, and it doesn't make a difference because even though we're borrowing it, but we immerse it first. And then there's no problem, even if it was tame. So why did Bishamai say lochavaloi and Bishil didn't respond? So that Gemara answers, tame meis bai hazo gimel vazayin. The case they were discussing was when there's a corpse. Something that becomes tame from a dead body needs to be purified, not enough with just putting in the mikvah. You have to spray it with the mechatas, the purification waters from the paraduma, on day 3 and day 7. Now, the problem with that is, umana lezayin yomi loy mushli inshi, people do not borrow utensils for a period of 7 days, and therefore, it wouldn't be able for us to find a way to have their kelim to be tamei and then for us to anyways borrow it and purify it, because we don't have it for 7 days to first spray day three, then day seven, and then go ahead and use it. And therefore, Bishamay's point was a valid point, and that is, it's l'chav v'loy, we cannot go and tell him his kelim a tahar, because the problem is, we need to tell him it's tamei, so that he should immerse it. Because if we don't, and he considers it tar, then the tamei l'chama are going to borrow from him, and they're going to be using kelim that are tamei, because they're not going to have it for 7 days to go ahead and purify it on day three and day seven. However, what we were talking about before was talking about generic kelim that are not tamei, where there we go ahead and we immerse it right away, because we take for granted, we assume that whatever they had became tamei. But in the case of tamei mace, there we have to go ahead and make sure that what became tamei by them, they go ahead and they make it tahar first, because we don't hold on to it for 7 days. Now the Gemara goes back to ask on this halacha that we said that some of the baras a keli from an ama aretz has to immerse it first. But the Gemara asks, "Vatfila le mehemni?" Is it really true that regarding the immersion of their kalim, they're not believed? And that's why we said that whoever borrows it from them has to go ahead and immerse it first. But Vatanya learned in the Braisa that says, Nemonim amiyaretz, ignoramuses are believed, al taharas tvilas tamei meis, regarding the purification process of immersion of something that became tamei from a mess. So you see that they are believed regarding tvila. So why, when we borrow kalim from them, do we have to immerse it first? So Mabaye says, Leikash, not a difficulty. He says, Ha begufay. When it's regarding their body, then they're believed. Ha, but kalim, but regarding the kalim, they're not believed. And therefore, when we borrow kalim, we have to go ahead and immerse it first. But regarding their bodies, they are believed that they immersed. Another resolution, the Gemara says, Rav Amar, it says, Idav, Idav, kalim. They're actually both talking about his utensils. And Balei Kasha, still it's not a contradiction. Ha, here where we said that they are believed, is the Amar, Mi oilam lo hitvalti kli b'tei kli, where he says, I never had a situation of immersing a utensil in another utensil. Since he says he never even did that type of a case, so it doesn't even come to consideration that maybe he did it the wrong way, where he didn't pick up the upper one to let the water in, or that the hole was too small. There he's believed that he immersed it, and therefore he did it correctly. But v'ha d'amr hetfalti avaloi hetfalti b'kli shem piv kishvei feres hanoid. When we said he's not believed, is that he already entered into the red zone, in the sense of, he said, look, I did immerse a kli b'toch kli, but I didn't do it in a utensil that didn't have too small of a hole. So now it's already a bit iffy, because we know he already did it in a possible problem. Now, although he's saying he didn't do it incorrectly, but once he already entered in this questionable area, then he's not believed to say that it wasn't the requisite shear. As the Gemara says, Vatanya, like we learned similarly in the Braisa, the same concept, that if he says he never entered into that realm, then he's believed. But if he says he entered, but he did it correctly, then he's not believed. The Braisa says, Nemanama oritz loimer. An ignorant person is believed to say that peris lehokshru, these produce never became susceptible to tumah, which means they never came in contact with water. Therefore, the solids are not susceptible. Aval ena neman leima, but he's not believed to say this quasi-believe, meaning to say peris hokshru, look, they became susceptible, aval enitmu, but they did not become tumah. Again, once it already enters that arena, then we say he's not believed. If he says it never entered the arena, then he's believed, and that's Rava's interpretation, where he says they're both regarding kalim, but one is where he says that I never did kli b'toch kli, and then he's believed, but when he said I did it, but I did it the right way, then he's not believed. Now the Gemara goes back to ask regarding the interpretation of Abaya, who his resolution was that regarding his body he's believed, but regarding his kalim he's not believed. So the Gemara asks, v'agufei mimehemen, is it really true regarding his body he is believed? But Vatanya in the Braisa that says, Chavar Shabbala Hazis. Regarding a Talmid Chacham that's coming to be sprayed with the Mechatis. In other words, he says, I'm ready for my first spray. Meaning, I already passed the first 3 days of my Tumah. Now today is day three. I need to get my first spraying. Then day seven, he gets his second one, and then he can become pure. So that the Braisa says, Mazen Lav Miyad, we believe him. So we spray him right away. And he just has to count another 4 days, get sprayed day seven, and then he's pure. But I'm an ignorant person that says, I'm ready, I'm by day three, I want to be sprayed with the mechatas. So the bride says, Imaz no love, we do not spray on him, until we see. You're going to wait here, you just came today, you're going to first count 3 days, then we'll see that you waited, you're by day three, then we'll spray you, and then by day seven. So one thing we see is that regarding the tumah of his body, he's not believed. We don't believe him when he says he's by day three. So how could Abaye say that regarding gufa he is believed, and only regarding kalev he's not believed? So Elam Abaye, rather Abaye says, it's not a difficulty. Because mitoich chaymer shechmarto lav betchilase. Because of actually of this, where you're asking from is actually the source of my interpretation. And that is because when he comes to have his hazois, to be sprayed, you don't believe him. So initially, when he comes for the purification process, you're more stringent on him. So hakalta lav besayfei. So it comes out, that's why you're more lenient with him at the end. In other words, you believe him regarding his tefillah post. If he says, I immersed myself, you know why he's believed? Because he's definitely careful with his tefillah, because he doesn't want to have to do it again. Because we see that he gets that feeling that he's not trusted, and therefore he wants to do it the right way. As we see in the beginning, we don't trust him. So because we're stringent him at the beginning, if he says that I did my immersion, which afterwards, then we say, oh, he probably did it the right way. Because he doesn't want to have to do it over again, because since we're stringent in the beginning, so we're lax with him at the end. And that's why it is like Abaye said, that regarding Gufay, he is Neman. Now the Gemara continues with the next part of our Mishnah. We're up to the next stringency of Chaymer B'Kachem Mibetchuma. So he said that there are utensils that have different components to the vessel. There's a charaim, there's the back part, the outside part, there's vetech, there's the inside part. So he said that regarding truma, we'll view each component as a separate entity. And if that part became tummy, only that entity is tummy, but the rest are tar. But regarding kachim, if one entity became tummy, the whole vessel is considered tummy. Now the Gemara asks, maya charaim vetech, what is the conceptualization of this case of an outside and an inside that will view them as independent entities? So the Gemara says, kidnan, like we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. Says kli shenitma achayrav regarding utensil that the outside became tummy. That is, for example, we're talking about a wooden or a metal where they could contract tumma from the outside, because as we said, kli cheres, the case wouldn't even be possible of becoming tumma from the outside. So if it became tumma on the outside, bimashkin, with liquid, with a beverage. And that is, as Rashi explains, we're obviously talking about a rabbinic tumma, because biblically min da'iraisa, food or beverage cannot transmit tumma to a utensil. And the reason is because a kli could only be kabel tumma from an ava tumma, which is not the case by regular food and beverage. Now, however, the chachamim were geyser that liquid should transmit tumma to a kli. And the reason is because there is a case of a certain beverage which is a liquid that is an ava tumma, and it will be metama kli min ha-Torah. What's that case? For example, the spittle or the urine of a zav, which is a person that has a certain type of emission that comes out of his member. Now, since this tumma that we're discussing here of a regular liquid, a regular beverage, is only rabbinic, again, as a concern because of a case when we'll have a biblical tumma, which is that when it comes from a zav, so now when that goes ahead and touches the outside of a vessel, which makes it rabbinically tamei, then achayrav tamein, then only the outside of the kli becomes tameh. However, all the other entities of the vessel will be tar. And the reason for this is, because although generally you make something tameh, even rabbinically you'll make the whole thing tameh, but the Rabbanan wanted to make a differentiation to know that this is only rabbinic tameh. Why did they want that? What's the difference between biblical or rabbinical? The difference is that when something becomes only tameh rabbinically, you're not allowed to go ahead and, let's say, if truma or kachem touches it, if it's biblical tameh, you have to burn it. But if it's only rabbinic, so biblically it's not tummy, you're not allowed to burn the truma kachim, and therefore we have a different way of a process of dispensing of the truma kachim, as the Gemara explains the Masechtas Nid in the first parak. So there's a differentiation. So if something is rabbinic tummy or biblical, so since we want you to know it's only rabbinical tummy, we say that, you know what, if it touched the outside of the utensil, only the outside is tummy. However, toichai, the inside of the kli, or ugnai, the lip, meaning that's the inside of the kli that starts turning outward, which is usable for utility, or aznai, which is like when you have the ear of a cup, of a barrel, or v'yadav, or the handle, which is like when you have a pan that you have this long ladle, all those components are taharin. Again, as we said, because they're considered as different entities, and we're saying here, since it's rabbinic, we only want the outside to become tummy, to know that it's not a biblical, because biblical, wherever you touch it, the whole thing becomes tummy. However, nitmataychai, if the inside became tameh, even if it's only rabbinic tameh, then kuli tameh, the whole entire thing becomes tameh. It's only a differentiation we made regarding the outside. But again, this is the conceptualization of the case we were discussing in our Mishnah, that if it's kachim, we view the whole thing as becoming tameh. But if it's only by, if it's by truma, then we say that if it's a rabbinic tumah, let's say by mashkin, that touched the outside, only the outside will be tameh, but all the other components will be tahar. Now, the Mishnah mentioned as one of the entities, one of the components of a kli, besides the outside, the inside. One of them was Ubeis HaTzvita. So the Gemara says, my Beis HaTzvita, what is the terminology of Beis HaTzvita? What component is that of a utensil? So Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, he says it's Mokum Shid Tzaifta. It's the place where you grab onto it to then pass it to someone else. So too, there's a pasuk in Rus that says, V'yitzvat loch kali, that he passed the heart, which the Targum, the Aramaic translation is V'oishud loch, he passed the heart, kali, the roasted grain. So we see that Tzvita means the place where it's held onto. So that's considered one of the entities of the utensil. Another interpretation, Rav Asir Rav Yechon, he says, it's Mokim, it's the place in the utensil, Shinikiya Hadas, where the istanesses, those are the types of people that are more delicate, that they're tzayven. That's literal translation of tzayven is that's where they die, but they would you're dying your food, meaning that's where they would dip their food into mustard or into vinegar. What that means is that they would have a certain hole in the bottom of their plate, which was a separate receptacle, which had some height to it, so it didn't get mixed with everything else in the plate, that they would put in vinegar or mustard inside of that. That is the Beis HaTzvita, which is related to the word Hatzviya. Some have a different girsa. That is a different entity, and therefore, although one of the other items on this utensil will become tame by truma, but the rest will stay tahar. And again, by kachim, if one part gets tame, then all of them will be tame. Now the Gemara qualifies. Tani Rav Bivi Kamed Rav Nachman. Kol HaKelim Ein Lehem Acharayim B'Toich. All utensils don't have a differentiation of the outer part or the inner part. In other words, there's no difference. Rather, if one of them becomes tame, they're all tame. And that is, as we said, regarding kachim. But what he is qualifying is that echad kachim amigdash, whether it's the kachim of the Beis HaMikdash, vechad kachim agivul, or whether it's the kachim that is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, even in the boundaries. Now, that he asked to him, Rav Nachman asked to Rav Bibi, he says, Omalei, what is this reference that you said regarding kachim that is outside of the Beis HaMikdash? Truma? Because truma is something that's considered kadosh, holy, that's eaten in the entire boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. But we learned in our Mishnah that said, acharayim b'toichu Beis HaTzvita l'truma, that they are considered different entities regarding truma. So that can't be what you mean by kachim agvul, because truma is something that we don't say that they're all going to be considered tame if it touches one of the entities. So he said that Dilma, maybe this that you said kodshei agvul is lechulin shenasol taras hakodesh kamen. Maybe what you meant to say was that it means in reference to unconsecrated produce, regular chulin that was made on the level of this of the tahara of the purity of kodshim. That's considered kodshei agvul because it's not really kodshim that's in the Beis HaMikdash. You eat it wherever you live, but it's considered taras hakodesh that it's on the level of that sanctity. And therefore, regarding that, we said it has the same stringency as kachim itself, and if one component becomes tummy, the whole thing will be tummy. And he says that now, based on this price that you just told me, at karten milsa de amir Rabbi Avu. Now I remembered something that Rabbi Avu, who is the Rebbe of Nachman, so Rabbi Nachman was saying, I remember something that my Rebbe had said, which makes sense based on what we just interpreted from your halacha of kachim gvul, that the same halacha of kachim applies to, that it means not truma, but it means chulin shenasal taras hakodesh. And that is because my Rebbe had said, Achas Esri Mailis Shanukan. Our Mishnah spoke about 11 chumr stringencies of kachim over truma. Sheish Rishainis, Bein Lekodesh, Bein Lechulin Shanasa Taras HaKodesh. The first six apply not just to kachim, but even chulin that's made on the level of the sanctity of Tara that applies to kachim. For example, if someone that generally has karbonis in his house, he doesn't want to have even his non-kachim to be eaten with a lower level of Tara, because then they might come to make even the kachim tummy. Now, as we explained in the previous daf, the reason why these first six will apply even to chulin that shenasa taras hakodesh is because the reason for these six gezeiros, these chumras, are because that there is an element of possible biblical tum over here, which would apply even to the stringency of chulin shenasa taras hakodesh. And therefore, that would include even this case that we're discussing of acharayim v'tech and all the different components, which that's from the first six, and therefore it would apply even to, quote, kachak gvul, which is chulin shenasa taras hakodesh. But acharayin is, but regarding the last five, lakodesh only applied to true kachim, avaloy lechulin shenasa taras hakodesh, but it does not apply to chulin that's made on the level of tahara of kachim, because there we said it has nothing to do with it. The whole idea of chulin that's made with the tahara of kodesh means to say that we have the concerns of kachim regarding this chulin, which means same relation to halachas of tumah. That's the first six. The last five is just
mailis we made regarding kachim, but not because we're concerned about actual tumah, and therefore only for true kachim will have those concerns. But chul shanasu taras hakodesh will not have those true concerns. And again, that's what Rabbi Bibi had said from that brisa, that acharayim b'teich will apply to kachim in the mizbeh, in the base of mikdash, and to kachim gvul, which is chul shanasu al taras hakodesh.